Welcome back to Cinema Three-Way. The movie we're discussing now is The Naked Kiss, Samuel Fuller's 1964. Thank you, Beerson.
Yeah, sure.
You know, when you start your movie with a woman attacking the camera with a purse as her wig falls off, you know you're not about to watch an average movie. Our protagonist comes on swinging, literally, and that will be the continued tone of this, or to be fair, any Fuller movie. Fuller made The Naked Kiss in 1964, and since it is the last film Fuller manages to get made until 1980, excepting 1969's Shark, which Fuller took his name off of, maybe Sam hit a little close to home, and it cost him. The Naked Kiss is the finale to a 17-year run, largely made possible through Fuller's reputation as a crack writer and the backing of studio bosses like Daryl Zanuck, who were willing to weigh the regional losses incurred by Fuller's fearlessness against the smaller gains but higher value that Fuller's particular kind of message film brought in. In many ways, Sam Fuller is an early casualty of the collapse of the studio system. With no protector, Fuller was simply too hot to handle. In a film business environment trying to survive outside of monopoly for the first time in its history, well, the mainstream cinema business ran and hid from all controversy or risk until it was dragged into hyper-controversy by the mavericks and TV-bred and trained outlaw directors who rose from the ashes in the 1970s to save American movies from its elders and corporate bosses. For a time, at least. Sam Fuller was 50 years ahead of his time. The Naked Kiss might still be too much of an indictment of the upper class, or of the pettiness of small-town America, or the puritanical hypocrisy of our most respectable citizens. The Naked Kiss, the kiss of the deviant, detectable by any working girl, comes from the most unlikely place in this barn-burner melodrama. Our protagonist, Kelly, a working girl, trying to start new and wash the filth of her life as a prostitute off with the good deeds of tending to sick and crippled children, runs smack into the American justice system as soon as she steps off the bus. However, a little champagne selling. And the gate to small-town America swings open. From there on out, though, Kelly is clean. Real clean. And no matter what storm cloud gathers over her, she comes out clean and the water rolls off her. She meets a great guy, a former army buddy, the local lawman, and becomes adored by her charges and respected by her co-workers. She fights to keep another girl from making her same mistakes, and when I say fight, I'm not being metaphoric. Fuller shot this movie in high contrast and loaded with close-ups. Its biggest moments are written in people's eyes. Again and again, it is about how and what his characters see, and in their seeing, what is told to us. His minimalism is glorious, and the dialogue, oh, that Fuller dialogue. Put some Beethoven behind it, and you will be struck paralytic by its force. What is respectability? When is the truth going to actually save you or condemn you? What is truth if it comes to us from the wrong person? These are some of the larger questions that Fuller grinds our faces in, and he doesn't let up. Beerson, what did you think of The Naked Kiss? I know it seemed like it sort of rocked you.
Well, it certainly did. Well, The Naked Kiss starts with a punch in the viewer's face. Kelly, our hero, beats a man unconscious with her purse, which is awesome. She takes some, but not all, of his money. Her wig falls off and then she's shown to be bald. We will find out why later. The camera is first person, like Kelly's attacking us, the audience. Constance Towers, which is an amazing lady, who plays Kelly, our protagonist, is a magnificent lead actress, charming, beautiful, and powerful. The sincerity of the character leaves us no doubt about her innocence, at least in one way. When she finds working take care of the sick children at a hospital, Fuller knows you can fool a kid. No way. And uses that to reinforce Kelly's integrity. It is the kids that makes us certain that Kelly's past is indeed in her past. Well, dealing with the dangers to the children has always been a sensitive issue, and a very important one. Addressing some of the issues in this film in 1964 is almost incomprehensible. There has always been hookers with heart of gold, but inverting the noble bourgeoisie and upper class is far more rare, especially for this era. Well, abortion? Unheard of, yet here it is. The veneer of respectability that comes with owning a hospital, a deception as profound as a champagne sales girl. The high key lighting is essential film noir, and it is used routinely But littered with references to Fuller's life and even other films, Shock Corridor is playing at the local movie theater. The Big Red One, the U.S. 1st Infantry Division Fuller served in, is associated with the background of both major male characters, all the useful Fuller touches. It seems significant that Fuller chose to spice up his dialogue with Goethe and Byron. It gave movies some class, at least in my opinion. And then the scenes that moved me the most were the ones tied to children singing a haunting song. Fuller's manipulation of our emotions through this proves he is a master of a melodrama. He is no slouch at symbolism either, though. As he forces money down the throat of a madame, his character's betrayals of each other are also very affecting. At one point, I feel like I'm definitely losing my belief in humanity. Some have said the first scene is the strongest, but they all feel like Fuller has left a stamp on them, to me at least. Fuller's characters have strong dialogues when they get going. I can't even blink my eyes. When Grant, the wealthy, respectable man, says he wouldn't even throw a flower at her past, I fall in love with him all over again. Fuller writes lines that bite. His dialogue is second to none. Fuller claims this movie is a melodrama. I see it as more than that. Like, part melodrama, part film noir. The suspense and drama is high tension all the way through. It chases you like your past. There is no escape. Not every viewer will be able to keep up, though. A hooker with a heart of gold gets a job in children's hospital, torn between her dreams and the reality of the world she lives in. Unlikely as it may seem, this is the vehicle Fuller uses to attack the myth of respectability in American society.
Gee whiz. Strong meat indeed. And strong sentiments. And we're going to go watch this and we'll be back.